Well, shall we come to that God in prayer? Let's bow our heads, our hearts, and our minds as we come to him in prayer. Father God, we ask for help to worship your holy name. We ask that this morning our hearts would be lifted up to praise you. Lord, to honour you. Lord, we ask that you would help us to focus on you and not be distracted of anything from this past week. Or anything that may be happening this coming week. Lord, may you be our focus. We thank you that you are a God of love. We thank you that your love never ceases. Your steadfast love never ceases. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that you're a God who is good. And we see that most beautifully displayed, most easily seen, through your Son, the Lord Jesus, when he was willing because of his love, when you were willing to send him because of your love, for people like us, for people who had turned their back on you, for people who wanted to do things their way, for people who didn't want to listen to what you had to say and the way that you wanted this world to live and the way you wanted people to interact with each other. Lord, you were willing for Jesus to come and die, to come and bear the punishment for all those who would look to him, believing and trusting that as he died on the cross, as he faced your anger, as he thought about all those that he was dying for, all those who would come, believing and trusting, Lord, that one day we will be in heaven with you, where there is no sin, where there is no crying, where there is no sadness, where everything is pure and perfect and love reigns. And we thank you for that. We pray, though, for those who aren't interested, those who don't care about what you have to say, those who think Jesus was a good person, did many wonderful things, but perhaps nothing to do with them in their lives. Speak to them, we pray. Show them their sin. Show them their danger. When they don't know you as their Saviour. When they don't know you as their Father. When they don't know you as their King. We ask that you would convict them of sin and show them the Lord Jesus. May the Holy Spirit really work in their lives and draw them into the kingdom of God. We pray that you would be with us today for your honour and glory. Amen. We're going to sing another song, All Praise to Him, the God of Light. Again, look for this word of love. In this first verse, we've got that in that fifth line, All Praise to Him who reigns in love. I don't know if we can think of any government that we've ever been under who reign in love. He reigns in love. If we go to verse 2, Alfie. We look there, don't we, where we see his love is seen. And how is his love seen? Through Jesus and what he was willing to do on the cross for us. And then in verse 3, we see about the way we have loving hearts, that we respond because he, his power, puts his love into our hearts. Well, let's stand and sing with the music.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see you all this morning. Now, does anyone know what the date was yesterday? Yeah? The 14th of February, yeah. And what happens on the 14th of February? What is the 14th of February? It's Valentine's Day. What's that all about? What do people do on Valentine's Day? You give people presents, yeah. Well, who gives these presents to who? Yeah, people that are in love. A bit yucky, isn't it? Yeah. People that are in love, they give each other presents and cards, and they tell them that they love them. And so, yeah, Alfred, do you want to stick up the first slide? And I expect many of you, for your mums, I expect you're perhaps they saw a table like that yesterday. So, isn't it lovely? People give, like, they can see there's a card there, some chocolates, some champagne, some roses, candles, all very romantic. And people use Valentine's Day to tell the people that they love that they love them. So they're telling them they love them. But the Bible actually says a bit more, that we shouldn't just tell people that we love them. So we've got a Bible verse here. Would someone like to read that in a big loud voice so that everyone can hear? Or shall I do it? Go on, it'll be nice and loud for us. Yeah, so if I've got lots of something, maybe money, and you need something, and I don't give it to you, that's not very good of me. And the Bible says I haven't got God's love in his heart. So, for example, Evelyn, do you want to come here? So me and Evelyn are at school, and it's lunchtime, and so there's Evelyn's lunch, and here's my lunch. And so we're going to go and sit down in the lunch hall and have our lunch. But what might be the problem by the time the lunch hour is over? If you just turn around, Evelyn. So I'm going to open up our lunch boxes and eat. What might Evelyn's problem be?
That she doesn't have anything.
Yeah, so what's going to happen to her at the end of lunchtime? How's she going to feel? She's still going to feel very hungry. I'm not, though. So I've got crisps, I've got flapjack, raisins. I've got loads to eat in here. So, but what I'm going to do is I feel sorry for Evelyn because her lunchbox is empty. So I'm just going to say, Evelyn, I do love you, but I'll pray for you that you won't be hungry. is that a nice thing for me to do? Pray for her that she's not hungry? No, what? So the Bible's saying is that's not enough. So if we go to the next slide, it says here, my children, our love should not be only words. So I shouldn't just say, oh, I'll pray for you. Our love must be true love, and we should show that love by what we do. So what would be a nice thing for me to, how can I show that I love Evelyn?
By
sharing. Yeah, so I can give her some of my lunch, and she can then, hopefully she won't be as hungry, and then I can share. So what the Bible's telling us is that we shouldn't just say we love people, we should actually show it by the things that we do. So love is actions, not words. So I wrote Leah a card, a Valentine's Day card, and I told her I love her. But actually, that's all well and good, isn't it? But what I should be doing every day is make decisions that I know are going to make her happy and take her places that I know she likes and do things that mean that she's happy. And that's me showing love. It's all very well writing it down in a card, but that doesn't really count for anything if you don't put your love into action. So that's what we need to remember, is that true love is showing it by what we do, not just by what we say. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and then you can go back to your seats. Thanks. Father, thank you so much for the love that you have given to us and you've put in our hearts. Help us to show that love to other people by the way that we behave, by the way that we treat people, even people that don't love us and don't treat us well. Lord, you said to love our for us to love our enemies. And so I pray that we will love one another as you have said, and to be kind and to show it in our actions and not just our words. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well done, guys. You can go back to your seat.
Thank you, Luke, very much. What a helpful thing for all of us to listen to. I think I'd have just given the fruit and kept the crisps. But no, it's good to share. It's good to share everything, isn't it? Okay, so we've got three readings this morning, three short readings. Our first reading is in 1 John. So 1 John towards the end of the Bible and chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, which is on page 1023. And we're going to read verses 7 to 11. So 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11 on page 1023. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And if you turn back with me to Romans, we're going to go back a little bit to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, reading verses 6 to 10. So Romans chapter 5 on page 942, reading verse 6 to 10. Verse 6, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And our third reading, we're back in the Gospel of John and chapter 3. And I'm sure your minds are ahead of us before we get there. Gospel of John, chapter 3, reading two verses. Verses 16 and verse 17. Page 888 in the Gospel of John. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And Mark will come and preach from those three passages, or the main passage in 1 John, a little bit later. But let's turn again to our God in prayer, and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We again thank you that you are a God of love. We thank you that you made the first move in showing us that you're a God of love, that you didn't act in judgment, you didn't just condemn us for our sin, but actually you reached out to restore that relationship between us and you, and that we can be saved through your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for your love. And as you love us, we pray that you would help us to love those round about us. And we thank you for that excellent illustration that Luke showed us this morning of sharing, of doing something, of not just saying it. Help us to be sensitive of the needs of those round about us, whether it's those people who are in our families, whether it's those people who are in our workplaces, whether it's our neighbours or our friends. Help us to be sensitive to their needs. And at opportunities that you give to us, we will be able to demonstrate your love through our actions to them. Lord God, we pray that you would keep Satan and the devil out of our lives, who tries to get us to put ourselves first. Save us from pride. Save us from selfishness. Save us when we do that, when we don't think of others before ourselves. Lord God, we pray for all here. Lord, you know each of our situation. You know each of our lives and each of our circumstances. We pray that you would help us in our lives. We pray that we would be talking to you in prayer about the things that challenge us in our lives, the things that get us down, the things that stress us out. Lord God, help us to bring them to you in prayer, knowing that you're a God who can strengthen. You're a God who can bring comfort. You're a God who can bring peace. You are a God who helps. And Lord, we know that from as we look at the world round about us. We look at what you've created and what you've done. And the problems that we have, though they may be really big for us, for you they're fairly small. Lord God, help us to realise that you are a great God, a God who cares, a God who wants to help, because you are a God of love. Lord, we thank you for when things are going well. Lord, help us to come and bring praises to you and thanks and be thankful to you for your kindness and your goodness to us. May it not be at times of trouble that we pray to you, but help us to praise and thank and worship you when things are going well. We want to commit to you this coming half term, a time of holiday where the children don't have to go to school. We pray that you would bless them, that they would have a good time. We remember those who have gone away on holiday. We pray that you'd be with them, keep them safe. Lord, we ask that you would give them a time of physical refreshment, of mental refreshment, as well as a spiritual refreshment. We commit to you, John and Esther, as they are away at this moment. We pray for them that you would bless them with those three things. We want to remember our friends who are abroad, away from us. We think of Rosie in Papua New Guinea. We think of the Swansons in Cyprus, and ask that you'd be with them and bless them. We ask that as they seek to tell others about you, as they spread your word, as they tell of your love, Lord, that you would bring souls into your kingdom, that they would be saved, that your word would be sown into lives of men and women and boys and girls, and they would come to know you as their saviour. Lord God, we pray that as we come to your word, we ask that we would have listening ears. We pray that we would not switch off. We pray that as you teach us through what Mark has to say from your word, that we would take that and this week apply it into our lives. And we pray that we would become more like the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. So bless us, we pray, for your honour and for your glory. Amen. Well, before Mark comes, we have got our third song, which is Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. And let's stand with the music.
I was lost but now I'm found. Good morning once again, everyone. And if it's your first time here in this church, it is really good to have you with us. I hope you feel a warm welcome this morning. We have got refreshments afterwards as well, so please do join us for that if you want a cup of tea or coffee and a biscuit and a bit of a chat. It'd be lovely to meet you. If you're here and you haven't been here for a while, it's good to have you back. Lovely to see you. And if you come here every week, it's nice to see you too. But no, it is really lovely. And welcome to those of you online again, maybe more this week with the amount of illnesses going around, but good to have you with us. Well, on the BBC News this week, there was a short interview up in Glasgow with different people, and people in Glasgow were asked, what is love? What is love? And there were a sort of middle-aged couple there, and they were asked this question, and they looked at each other, and they said, it's us. And the interviewer went, oh. A man was asked, and he simply said, I don't know, haha. An older married couple said, love is enjoying life together. They said, we're just over 60 years married. They said, never go to bed on an argument, and just compromise. That was love. A woman said, it can be a lot of things, like romantic or your family. Well, I don't know how you'd answer that question if the mic was put in your face. What is love? It's tricky, isn't it? Because there's so many different types of love. You know, you've got the feeling of intense attraction towards someone in a romantic sense, and we call that love. But then you've also got the care that a parent has for the child. Or even between friends, you can have that friendship love. Love covers so much, doesn't it? So it's tricky to sum it up, really. But in 1 John chapter 4, in the New Testament, we get this little phrase, this is love. This is love. The Bible talks a lot about different types of love. It talks a lot about romantic love. It talks about family love. It talks about friendship love. But here, in this little bit, we're going to see the greatest love of all. This is what it says. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. And what I want us to do this morning is just think a little bit more about that. And to enjoy thinking about that this morning, God's love for us. Because God's love is the greatest love we can ever know. It is more amazing and more life-transforming than anything else we can know. It is deeper and it is more certain and it is longer lasting than any other love that we can possibly know. In fact, actually, just before this phrase that I've just read, just before that, it says these three words, God is love. Not just that God is capable of love, not just that God feels love sometimes, but that God is love. It's at the very core of who he is. Now, I suspect most of you have heard of the five love languages. Dr. Gary Chapman came up with them. He suggests there's five different ways that we sort of express love to others or enjoy having love expressed to us. And each person will value different ones differently. So one of them is quality time. So if someone spends quality time with you, you feel that sense of being loved. Another one is acts of service. So if someone serves you in some way, they help you out, you feel that sense of love, that they love me, or maybe you do it for someone else to show them love. Receiving gifts, if someone gives you a gift, you feel that sense of they care about me, they've thought about this, they've paid money for this. Physical touch, maybe if someone gives you a hug, you feel that sense of they love me, they care about me. Or words of affirmation. People say nice things about you, they're positive towards you, they say that they care about you. And I was chatting with a colleague about this a few years ago, and for me, one of the ones I like is words of affirmation. I like words, I get to say them quite a lot, especially up here. But I like words, and I think one of the things I like with words is that you can say exactly what you mean, and you know exactly what someone else is meaning, because they can just say it. If they want to say I love you, they can just say I love you. You don't have to do any decoding or working out signals. They can tell you exactly what they're feeling. But it was interesting that my colleague had a completely different view. They said, no, words are cheap. Words are easy. You see, in their experience, it was very easy for people to say things like, I love you. But what they had found is that so often the actions didn't back it up. And so what they wanted is something that showed a bit of energy, a bit of commitment, action. It showed love. Not just what they saw as sort of cheap, easy words. They valued gifts. They valued acts of service. Because that showed someone they really cared. It is love in action. Well, all through the Bible, as you go through the Old Testament and the New Testament, you see time and time again, in lots of different ways, God declaring his love for us. You just see it time and time again. We're not left having to sort of decipher the clues and work it out. You know, how is God feeling? We're not left having to sort of read the signals. He makes it really clear for us that God has a great love for us. But maybe we say, the thing is, words are a bit cheap. Words are easy to say. But God doesn't just say these words. We don't get to the end of the Bible and just think, well, he said a lot, but we haven't seen much. No, we see his love. He shows it to us. And it is not easy and it is not cheap. It is incredibly costly, the love of God for us. What does it say in this little bit that we're looking at in 1 John 4? This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his son. That is the act of love that he has done. He has sent us his son, Jesus, into the world. Why did God send Jesus to us? Well, why is that so good? Well, so often when we hear that God is love, we can translate that in our minds to God is always gentle. God is always agreeable. God will never confront us. God will always accept us as we are because God is love, right? Sometimes we can think that. He's never confrontational at all, always accepting. And so we can have in our minds that we're okay with God. God is love. How can we not be? As long as we do good things, God will be chuffed to bits with us. But you know, in the same way that a doctor will warn a patient if they are very ill and say, look, you need to get treatment urgently. So God actually warns us, no, things are not okay. There's a serious issue. We have the diagnosis from God himself. God tells us that each one of us, we've broken God's laws. It's what the Bible says. We're rule breakers. We've fallen short of the standards that God has set for us. None of us have perfectly lived the way that God has called us to live. And so whether we've lived what we believe to be this incredibly morally upright life, or whether we've sort of come into church this morning almost nervous that we'll burst into flames because we feel so ashamed and we feel such a sense of guilt, all of us are actually the same in God's eyes. That we've all got this same issue, the same diagnosis that the Bible calls sin. We stand before God, and all of us are guilty. That's what the Bible says. So what is the greatest need? What's the greatest need that all of us have? Well, the greatest need is that big guilty sign that is hanging over us is taken away. That this diagnosis of sin that is in our hearts is dealt with. That the things we've done wrong are taken away. It's the only way that we can actually be made right with God. It's the only way that we can actually have connection with God. But maybe you're sort of thinking, but surely God's a God of love. Can he not just sort of let us off? You know, can he not just sort of, it's all right, I love you. But imagine if that happened in the law courts. Imagine if the defendant's there and the judge says, do you know what? I'm going to show you love. I'm going to, you know, we'll forget about this one. Well, I don't imagine the victim's family would be too happy at that situation. Because we know, don't we, that justice is a good thing. When there has been wrong, justice is good. It would be incredibly unloving, actually, of the judge to just let people go free. The law requires it. Justice has to be done. But imagine a very slightly different scenario where the judge announces the defendant guilty. And then he walks over there and he suddenly announces to the defendant that he's going to take on the prison sentence instead. You'd think he was mad, wouldn't you? What are you doing? And yet the Bible says that's what God sends Jesus into the world to do. He sends Jesus to us so that he takes on our guilt. He takes our place on himself instead of on us. This is what it says. Let me read the whole of this bit, verse 10 that we're looking at. In this is love, not that we've loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, I doubt it many of you have used the word propitiation this week. But let me just give you a bit of an illustration of what that is. Some of you have seen this before, but I find it helpful. Let's imagine that in this book is all the things we've done wrong. It is just full of our sins, our wrongdoings. And what happens is that it's formed this barrier between us and between God. It's in the way, it condemns us. It has broken our connection. And this is our situation. And it is a desperate place to be, the Bible says, because we are cut off from the life source of God. But here's what happens. Is Jesus comes along and he says, I can take that for you. And it's as if he takes all these things, all the things that are written down that I've done wrong, that we've done wrong, he takes it on himself so that he deals with it. And so what then happens to us? Well, then suddenly we are free to have this connection with God. Suddenly we have no guilt. There is no wrongdoing against us anymore. In God's eyes, we are perfect. And so we have that perfect connection. Because God's sort of wrath and anger on sin is now on Jesus. The justice is on Jesus instead of us. That is what Jesus does for us. And he does it on the cross. That's where Jesus takes the judgment. As justice is done, it says he's dying on the cross. He dies in our place, the Bible says. You see the depth of God's love for us? As he willingly takes our place. He didn't have to. He chose to. Martin helped us look at the second verse in the second song. Let me just read a bit of it again. All praise to him whose love is seen in Christ the Son, the servant king, who left behind his glorious throne to pay the ransom for his own. All praise to him who humbly came to bear our sorrow, sin and shame, who lived to die, who died to rise, the all-sufficient sacrifice. Jesus, who willingly came as God's Son to die for us and take away our sin. And you know, this is really special to me because this is a big part of my testimony of how I became a Christian. So I grew up going to church, but I wasn't a Christian. I didn't really have a love for God. I like learning things. But you know, there was one time when I heard what Jesus had done for me when he died on the cross. And it was the first time when I really realized that he had died for me. And I understood some of the suffering that he went through, understood some of what crucifixion was. And it hit me so hard that Jesus died in my place. So that even though I was guilty before God, Jesus could take that all away. He could take away my sin so that I could know God as my Father. so that I could have new life, the Bible says. I was just amazed at his love. My prayer is that you'll know some of that too, if you don't already. The last song that we'll be singing shortly is by someone else. It's a sort of testimony. I didn't write it at all, obviously, but actually I could have written it because it kind of sums up my story as well, and maybe yours. This is verse 2. But as I ran my hell-bound race, indifferent to the cost, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. You see that? He looks at the cross and it's just like he's beholding the love of God as he sees Jesus dying in our place for the wrong that we've done so that we can be free. This is love. This is love. That Jesus died for me in my place. Well, what does a face of love look like? We may say, well, someone looks at you with soft eyes or a smile. You can tell they love you. This is what it says in Luke 9, verse 51 about Jesus. It says, Jesus set his face. Elsewhere in the Bible that we see, it's setting it like flint. It's incredibly hard. He sets his face. But why does he do this? Well, it's a face of utter determination. And why does he need to be utterly determined at this point? Because he sets his face towards Jerusalem, where he knows that in a while he's going to be crucified. He knows that he is going to the cross to take the penalty for our sin. And so he sets his face. He is determined to go there as an act of love. Because he knows that he'd far rather do almost anything else than do that. But love is driving him to the cross. And so he sets his face determined that he will be crucified for us. He is determined to show love for us. Some of you that are adults will have heard of Desmond Doss. He fought in he was in the Battle of Okinawa in World War II. If you know the story, you may have seen the film. He didn't fight, but his unit was under fire. And he stayed on the ridge where they were when all his unit retreated. And he stayed surrounded by enemy forces and by wounded people. And he would go to wounded people and he would lower them off the ridge down to safety. And each time he got someone down, he prayed, Lord, help me get just one more. And it's believed that he saved approximately 75 people doing that. Incredibly difficult and dangerous circumstances. And so we rightly celebrate him as a hero, don't we? That he risked his life time and time again to save the lives of others. So many people owe their life to him. Or what about this story in 1982? So Air Florida Flight 90 crashed into an icy river in Washington, D.C. And when the helicopter came, it dropped down the rescue line. And there was one passenger that every time he got it, he passed it to someone else who needed it more. And he did this 6 times. And when they eventually got to him, he'd slipped beneath the surface. And he never made it. And his story is rightly remembered as this incredible act of love, of sacrificial love for others. Well, in the book of Romans in the Bible, it says this, perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. And we see that, don't we? We see that through history, that there are times when people will die for others in remarkable acts of love. But listen to how it carries on. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or as we had in the reading, even while we were still enemies of God, Jesus died for us. Jesus didn't die for us when we were at our best. He died for us even when we were at our worst. that this is the depth of God's love, that he doesn't love us because we're successful or because we're beautiful or because we're good and we can offer him something and he gets something in return. Like, that's what so much of our love is like, isn't it? We don't have to earn his love. We don't have to perform well to gain his love. We don't have to sort of clean ourselves up and add a bit of polish to be loved by him. No, he loves us in all our guilt and in all our shame. That is the depth of God's love, that he loves us as we are. Imagine, tragically, that you're caught up in a road traffic accident and you're alive, but you are badly injured. And, you know, imagine you look up and you see the paramedics rushing towards you. And you go, whoa, don't come here, give me a moment, I'm in a sorry state, like, give me a moment to sort myself out. Well, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's what the paramedics are there for. They're there to help you in your situation. You're not meant to tidy yourself up, get healed, and then the paramedics come and see you all nice and tidy. No, they've come to help you, to rescue you in that situation. That's what they're there for. And you know, it's the same with God. That he comes to us almost like a spiritual doctor who comes to us in our need, in our guilt. But he doesn't leave us there. Just like a good paramedic, he doesn't come and just sit with us and love us there. No, he heals us. He rescues us. He deals with the sin that is so damaging to us. He rescues us. He washes us. He takes away our guilt. He gives us new life in him. You know, God's love and what he's done on the cross leads to a transformed life. It leads to a life where we have connection with God, where we know God, where we have what the Bible describes as eternal life with God. Well, maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, is this for you? Is this for me? Well, we read John 3, verse 16, didn't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, this invitation of Jesus is open to everyone. Whoever you are, whatever your background, however good or bad you think you've been, this invitation is for you. And I want to encourage you this morning to believe in Jesus, as that verse told us to believe in him, to come to Jesus and to confess your guilt, to confess your shame, to realize that we have broken God's laws and to say, Jesus, please save me. Please take my guilt away. Because you know, God loves it when we do that. He is a God who loves to forgive. He loves to deal with sin. He loves to bring us into his family. And the Bible pictures it as giving us a big hug. Or maybe you've been thinking a little bit this morning about this and maybe you're interested. Well, if you want to know more about becoming a Christian or a life of a Christian, or you have questions, do chat to myself or another person afterwards that you think might know the answers. But we're also hoping to do it at some point, a Christianity Explored course. So if you're interested in Christianity and you're thinking, I want to know more about this, I want to understand more about God's love, I want to understand more about me, and think through some of these questions, then do come and chat to us or Martin and Jane down here, and they'd love to chat to you about that. But this is love. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. Well, we're going to sing that song that I mentioned earlier. It's really someone's testimony of sort of becoming a Christian and what Jesus has done for them. And maybe you can sing along too. And if this isn't true for you yet, maybe you can pray that this would be true for you too. So let's stand and we'll sing together. Mm-hmm. Well, in just a moment, I'll close to pray to close. But just a reminder that there are refreshments in the hall through there. So if you want to stay for a biscuit and tea or coffee or whatever and a chat, please do. Well, let's pray just to finish. Lord God, we thank you that this morning we've been able to look at your incredible love, your thoroughly undeserved love towards us. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus, Lord, to take on sin for us. And so all we have to do is receive the gift and believe in you. Oh, Lord, we thank you. And I pray, Lord, that as we experience your love, Lord, that that love would overflow to others too, so that they may know love through us, Lord, as we were thinking in the children's talk. So, Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us, and be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.